Good evening on the telephone. We just pressed starting the broadcast live on the video. So if you're on the video, you should be hearing me any second now. It's great to be with you. It's another Tuesday night, a celebration of life. How exciting is this? I was trying to count how many of these we've done, and it's I scrolled through them the other day in the Intentional Creation Studio, and there's a whole bunch of them. It's so exciting to be with you. My intention every Tuesday night when we meet like this on one of these topics is to be current in terms of what's happening in the world, and two, to be sensitive to the unique needs of those who are listening. Practice some of the principles we teach in terms of mental rehearsal, exploration, problem solving, planning, goal setting. See if I can get a little inspiration to guide me on these discussions so that I can serve you tonight. I'm so grateful that you're taking out this time to be here, and I want to make sure this time is of value to you. You know, as we're dealing with these principles of intentional creation, we just learned that we're living in a time when, you know, sometimes we would just like it to be a little bit easier, a little bit more comfortable. Unfortunately, or fortunately, that's just not an option. We get to make the choice. We either get to have those bruises of failure and wounds of mediocrity. That's when we try to make it easy, and it's not. It just gets beat us up. It's like getting put in a dryer, a tumble dryer. Or we get to make the choice to engage in life, to embrace our experiences and our challenges and take on life with all kinds of energy and fun, and for the purpose of connecting and creating value and serving others and enriching the world. It's a wonderful way to live. We do want to make sure that as you're going through this process that we don't get overzealous to a point that we're not sleeping or that we're hyper, almost frenetic about needing to create. Now, this is a step at a time. This is a process. This is something we learn to perfect over time. So be patient with yourself. Be kind to yourself as you learn these principles. And don't hold your life hostage. We have a tendency to create expectations in our mind and then hold ourselves hostage to those expectations. And sometimes it's due to a financial situation. You know, I've got to have this business generating revenue by June 1st or I'm going to be broke. Well, you may or may not be able to get there by June 1st. What you know is that if you fully stay present, mind and body, do all that you can do, it's going to be as good as it can be. I was reminded today in a conversation of getting to the end of the day. This will be one of those days. This will be one of those days where when Ramon and I get down to say our prayers tonight together, it's going to be real easy to say, I've done all I can do. I've done all I can do today. And know that I have. It's wonderful when you know that you have. And I can say, would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? Now, that's my belief system. It may not be yours, but meditation or otherwise, there seems to be a power in the universe. I call that power God. And I have an experience that that power does more work while I sleep than while I'm awake. If my intentions are pure, if my intentions are to engage in life, if my intentions are to embrace true principles and to connect and serve and create value and enrich the world, if those are really my intentions, I know that when my intentions drift, and they can easily, I have the same thought process as many of you have, very vivid visualization. Whew, boy, is it nice to sometimes escape to a time when it's different and better and more exciting, and the instant we go there, our intentions are in the wrong place. Now we go into the future. We can go into the future and see clearly, but clearly in a way that we get clear about what it is we'll need to or want to create to actually get there. Let it drive our actions and not discourage our day. You want to drive our actions so that we're working without counting the cost, working without tracking the time. Not just living in discouragement or frustration every time it shows up differently. Well, we've gone through these thought processes, these qualities of connection, of mental creation, of physical creation, of discipline, structure, joy in the journey. And now it's time for us to talk about self-esteem. Self-esteem encompasses all of those pieces in terms of ways to heal it. And a couple others that we'd like to add tonight. Now, first thing we're going to want to do, I believe, is to grow What is that creates some of these challenges in self-esteem? If we are feeling less than, or we look at another person and we wish we were as smart as they were, we wish we looked like this person, or we feel inadequate, or we feel unworthy, or we're questioning our belief systems, or we're sacrificing time, energy, and even our well-being to serve and serve and serve at the expense of our own health. If we get defensive when someone doesn't agree with us, or we feel like we have to give up ourselves to go along. Or, in the most tragic of circumstances, we're just riddled with guilt and even shame. And we may not even sometimes wish we were on this planet. Those are the self-esteem challenges that can show up. What creates this? What gets us into this frame of mind? I want to see if we can dissect it tonight so that we can more clearly, because I believe this understanding can help us give purpose to the practices and processes that heal the self-esteem. Now, the first is by far the most pervasive, the most far-reaching. It's a very simple concept. We create an expectation with our very vivid visualization about how our life should be. And I might say that, historically speaking, some of those expectations could be very reasonable. In 2008, a reasonable expectation is that real estate values would at least be flat, that we would have a decent employment. Gas prices wouldn't be $4 a gallon. They'd be more like $2, maybe $2.25, heaven forbid. Those would have been reasonable expectations. However, something shifted in society. It completely changed. And many of us kept hanging on to, and still are hanging on to, expectations that were created in 2007 and 2008 that frankly could be very reasonable had things continued, but they didn't. So when we're looking at an expectation of how we'd like our life to be, it always has to be measured with where we are. Where are we? What's happening around us? What are the circumstances? What's the clay we have been given? Because when we create this expectation, many of you have a thought process that's so powerful, incredibly powerful, vivid, that we've got that same brain chemistry and brain circuitry that would be occurring if we were actually there, if that expectation had actually occurred, if it were reality. The mind has created a construct. Like you construct a house, it's constructed the idea, and it is non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. Anytime reality shows up different than that, the body is going to go into a reaction of such horrific state that those fear dendrites shutting down our brain and centralizing the energy in our fight or flight center, cortisol coursing through our body, our memory center shut down, we could find ourselves in a fetal position, curled up in our bed, just paralyzed. I had a sweet conversation with someone who just spent the last 9 months in that space, who's coming out, finally coming out. But an expectation. Life showed up differently, and it's just absolutely paralyzing. And when this occurs, it is our nature to look inward. Now, I've said this many, many times. I want to see if I can help you understand why we would look inward. The primary reason we look inward is because we've been looking out and seeing the world. And 92% of the population is over-focused on what they see, believing what they see is the truth. Well, people see us believing what they see is the truth, and we know the truth. It's very different. It's very different for everyone else, too, except for when our thought processes want us to believe that, and our expectations aren't met, our dreams aren't fulfilled, it didn't happen the way it seems to be happening, seems to be, looks like it's happening with everyone else, we began to feel isolated. We must be the only one. This lie has been perpetuated for the better part of 4 or 5 years. Well, a little more than that, about 2006, so it's been 6 years. This lie has been perpetuated so that people feel like they're the only ones suffering because everyone else looks so okay. This economy has gotten to a point that it's pretty much shaken a lot of facades away, and people are getting much more real, so it's easier to realize we're not alone. But when we have felt so isolated, we turn inward, and we ask this question, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why can't I have it? Everybody else seems to have it. I went to the seminar. They told me all I had to do was look up at the heavens, that the heavens are stupid. I just ask, and your wish is my command. I mean, I'm supposed to be able to just get it. It's supposed to be manifest to me. Why isn't, I've been thinking with all the intention. I've been telling myself I'm worthy. Have I not done it with enough intention? Can you see how all of those lies have perpetuated this crisis in our country in terms of self-esteem? Because it looks like everyone else is okay. What is wrong with me? I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? And we question. If you've got your assessment handy, you can open up your assessment and look in self-esteem, the first measurement, whole and complete. We may be questioning our worth at an intrinsic level, our worth as a human being and our worthiness. We're going to start making a list of every mistake we've ever made, and that's the reason why it didn't happen. Now, there's some mistakes we can make that can contribute, but that's not the reason. But that's where we'll look. Ah, I know why. You know, I looked at that, or I said that, or I did this one time, or whatever it might be. That's the reason why I'm not worthy. Gosh, I'm just crappy, aren't I? And so we start to feel the shame. Not just feeling bad about what we've done, we start feeling bad about who we are. Then we start questioning, or can start questioning, our ability. Maybe I don't have enough education. Maybe I don't have a skinny enough body. Maybe I don't have a good enough voice. Maybe I don't have something. Something I don't have that's physical, tangible. Skills, possessions, money, whatever it might be. Then I can start to question my very foundational values. This can get really dangerous in a hurry. Can you see how this works? The mind creates an expectation. Some of you even have told us to go into the future and to imagine. Unfortunately, we've gone there and escaped to there and thought about it. It created such a vivid visualization that life shows up differently. We keep having this autonomic, gut-wrenching experience. And then we keep turning inward and saying, what's wrong with me? Well, now you know. What's wrong is not with you. It's the way we're using the gift of your vivid visualization. That's all. We've talked about taking our clay and creating the most we can with it. We go into our mind, and this will sound familiar to those who have been through the program, that we mentally rehearse. We go into the future to an event, and we start to imagine what could we do in this event that could bring value. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? And we get an inspired idea, get excited, lights up our passion, lights up our mind, and we go do it. We execute. Whatever it takes, we make it happen. And this is how we want to use our mind. Exploration. Considering possibilities without making a tangible commitment. This is a powerful piece. We want to seek inspiration. Is there anyone I can serve? Put them on my path and I'll serve them. Get inspired ideas. We act on them. We have great experiences. We plan. We goal set. We know why we're doing what we're doing. We have a reason, a plan for getting to where we're going. The solution to the expectation is not turning inward. It's just changing the way we use this gift of vivid visualization. Starting with, that's why I started here tonight, making the decision to let go of a desire for ease. Yeah, it's understandable why it's here. You've had experience. experiences in your life that are so painful, who wouldn't want it easier, more comfortable? And we've had, it seems like, an inordinate amount of those kinds of challenges over the last 4 years, been more so than we had over the previous four for most people. So it's been like never ending. You know, we thought the recession would be over at the end of 9, then 10, then 11, and 12, and now they're saying 13 or 14. How far is this going to go? How long can we last? I hear people all the time saying, Dave, I don't know if I can do this. This thing I'm doing every day for the next 3 or 4 years is too much. It probably is if we're facing it that way. So we want to start using these thought processes, these vivid visualizations, constructively. So go back into your mental creation and vigilantly, mentally rehearse. When you're tempted to escape, don't go there. Take the next thing in your life and start considering possibilities. Get an inspired idea, act on it. And with the knowledge, wow, that would not have happened had I not had that idea. And that idea would have not come if I'd have been in fantasy. And if I'd have been in fantasy, I'd be in catastrophe right now instead of elated over what I just created. This is how we overcome the first challenge of self-esteem. The second challenge is related to this one. We've separated it. Just recently, we pulled it apart instead of talking about it in the context of an expectation. Because an expectation can help drive it. But the cause is comparison. It's comparison. We take the clay we've been given. This is our clay. This is our gift. Our circumstances, our experiences, and what are we going to do with our clay? And inevitably, we want to look over at hers or his or theirs, and we wish we had different clay. This can create a tremendous anxiety in terms of self-esteem. We can start to doubt the value of our appearance. I like the way they look. Our possessions, I like theirs better. It's very easy to do. Very easy to do. We'll want to, in terms of physical creation, take the clay we've been given, go into our mind and get clear about what it is we're going to create that day, and then create the most we can with that clay and celebrate that creation. The only time we're going to look into the future is to see what the next step is, to make sure we've completed the last one. This is the next one, and it's bringing us one step closer to our ultimate dream. But everything is about living in the now, taking this clay and creating the most we can with it. A couple things happen when we do this. One, we get to meet our true self. I have been puzzled for a long, long time. In scroll number 4, which is on self-esteem, Og talked about this, and it just never made sense. Why did he talk about this particular section I'm going to share it with you tonight? What has this got to do with self-esteem? He said, I will concentrate my energy on the task, on the challenge of the moment, and my actions will help me forget all else. Okay, that makes sense. The problems of my home will be left in my home. I will think not of my family when I'm in the marketplace, for this will cloud my thoughts. Now, there's a distinction here. Just write down, cloud my thoughts. So I bring my home into the marketplace, it clouds my thoughts. So too will the problems of the marketplace be left in the market, and I will think not of my profession when I'm in my home, for this will dampen my love. Think about what distractions we have when we're not fully present. Seeing the needs of children or a spouse or a companion, we're just missing it, friends, because we're so preoccupied with what we're doing that it dampens our love. There's no room in the marketplace for my family, nor is there room in the home for the market. Each will I divorce from the other, and thus I'll remain wedded to both. Separate they must remain, or my career will die. This is the paradox of the ages. How can a career die when love is dampened? We start blowing apart relationships, and it has a tremendous impact on everything financial. This is the paradox of the ages. I am nature's greatest miracle. But what has this got to do with self-esteem? a deeper level than just home and family, use two very common places, two places we understand, to help us understand a great principle. It's one of the great pieces of being a human being. And that is that when our mind and our body come together in one place, we are whole and complete. And the truth is that for most of us, our body is always present. We could be unconscious in a hospital. Our body is still present. But almost always our mind is somewhere else. We're thinking about the past. We're thinking about the future. We're catastrophizing. We're fantasizing. We're planning. Even if we're going constructive, our mind is somewhere else. Our body is present in the now. August telling us that for success to occur, our mind and our body must be wedded together in the same place. And our actions will help us forget all else. It is in the now that we create. It's in the now. We can get inspired ideas that can drive our actions, drive us with passion and vision and purpose. But it's in the now that we do the creation. And when we are wedded, mind and body, we are finally whole and complete. We can be real and genuine and authentic. This is when we are our true self. When we're procrastinating, our body's present, our mind is somewhere else, the task is in front of us. When we finally bring mind and body together, shut off the noise, the self-deprecating noise, and jump into the task. Remember our discussions on procrastination? We're surprised. Wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? We're surprised at our own capacity. Matter of fact, we've even dismissed it as, well, if people knew how little effort I put into this, you know, they wouldn't appreciate the value, or they wouldn't have given me the grade. Well, the truth is that it might have taken someone else 6 weeks to do what you did in a few hours by totally focusing all your gifts and talents. You got to see for just a moment just what's possible when you truly show up. This is a great thing for us to do, is to be present in the now, mind and body. Well, when we're in comparison, we're somewhere else. We're wishing we had something different, physically, mentally, spiritually. We wish we had something different. When we break out of the comparison game, we wed our mind and our body present in the now, and we take it, and we take our clay, and we create the most we can with our clay, and we get to meet our own genius. Genius, genuine. We get to be genuine, fully available. And also, great principle. We talked about this a little bit last week. When we are embracing our clay and creating the most we can with it, fully maximizing our gifts, we are endowed with more gifts. We are. Beyond our normal capacity. It's a beautiful principle to understand. But we only get the option to receive more clay, if you will, if we're fully maximizing that which we have been given. We're never given that which we want that's in a different than, because we're dishonoring that which we already have. If we take what we have and build all we can with it, if we need more, we're given more. This is a beautiful healer of self-esteem. Breaks that pattern of comparison. Those two overshadow everything else. Expectations overshadows comparison. Comparison overshadows the next. The third way. Is everybody doing okay? The third way, can you start to see how self-esteem might have been damaged by comparison or by an expectation? And now you know that you use your mind constructively, you work in passion-driven action, and you're actually healing self-esteem because you're getting to meet your true self. And that surprise turns into ownership, and ownership turns into being genuine and authentic, acting on your own moral authority, doing the right thing for the right reason because you want to and get to and choose to. This is putting you back in the driver's seat of your life. You are you. The real you. Authentic means to embrace our true self, our true self. Wow. Okay. This isn't ego. This isn't narcissistic. This is finally embracing all that we can be so we can actually show up engaged, embracing these principles, connecting and serving, creating value and enriching the world. Think about how much more we can do when we show up, all of us, complete. Let's go to the third one. The third is a tender one. This is one I've got a little bit of experience with personally, as do many of you. This is when we've been in a situation, often as a child, could be an adult in a relationship. It can't even be in an employment relationship, where someone takes advantage of us at such a deep level that it damages our fragile underpinnings of trust. Ah, just hurts. When this occurs, especially if we're young, we can have some of the basic building blocks of life. I just remember the conversation I had with Dr. Ray Helfer. He was a consultant on the film we did for child abuse called Come In From the Storm back in 1987. Dr. Helfer was the father of the word child abuse prevention. He was one of the leading experts at the University of Michigan. He was sharing with me because he was treating adolescent children and into their teens who had been sexually molested as infants. And he was sharing with me that when that happens, those kinds of traumatic events happen in our lives, some of the basic building blocks of life just aren't put in place. What I do know is they can be put back in place. They can be put back in place. The way they're put in place is for us to pick up that orb, if you will, the Chicago dream. Is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? Yep, sure are. Okay, I'll put it right here in my heart. Ready reference point. I'll bring this heightened level of awareness to my conversations. I'll hear things other people won't hear. I can ask questions other people may not ask. There's finally purpose in the suffering. And when we're blessing another person's life through our own life experience, there is purpose in the suffering, there's joy in the journey, and there is healing in the soul. Those building blocks can be put back into place, and we can feel whole and complete. There's finally purpose in it. It makes sense. It helps explain so much in our lives. So if you've had the fragile underpinnings of trust damaged as a child, I believe you may need therapeutic intervention. That's true. You may need to process through this, and I'm just a coach. When you're ready to move forward, how you move forward is using the experience to better understand what someone else is experiencing. You don't get to throw this one away. You don't get to bury this one. It's there to be used to assist you in better serving another person. That's the secret, I believe. Now, if it's in adulthood, and I've heard some horrific stories lately, things that people have been through because perhaps alcoholism or sexual addictions or other challenges in a family that can create all kinds of issues. If you've had those fragile underpinnings of trust destroyed, you may need to get some professional assistance. And don't feel bad about this. These are professionals trained to help you process through and understand so that you can move forward. And when you're ready to move forward, just know that you've been uniquely prepared for this moment in time. As I've said on many occasions, you know what it feels like to be out there on the edge. You know what it feels like. And in the years to come, I think in the next 2 to 3 years, we could have some very painful moments in our society where people, because of their experiences, are going to walk right to the edge. And we're going to need people who know what it's like out there, who can walk out, put their arm around someone, and talk them off the edge of the cliff. To talk somebody off the edge. It's always helpful to know what it feels like to have been there. Just consider, in what way, have I been uniquely prepared for this moment in time? In what way? I have a sense of this. With my life experiences, the loss of millions of dollars and spending 10 uniquely prepared. And I can tell you that feeling that kind of energy is so healing just in and of itself. If you're in the middle of the firestorm, ask yourself, wow, in what ways am I being prepared? For what? Be looking for opportunities to use your life experience to serve another, and there can finally be purpose in that suffering. This is if you're ready. But this is a cause of child abuse, for an example. These fragile underpinnings of trust being destroyed. This is a major cause of self-esteem challenges. Question our worth. We question our worthiness. I remember when I did the film series Coming from the Storm on emotional, physical, and sexual child abuse. It was Coming from the Storm. The first section was called the necklace, right? And the necklace, Ramona's right here with me, the necklace with Tiffany Brissett from Small Wonder. Then we did the diary with Emmanuel Lewis. And then the last one was called Help Me Out. China Doll, thank you, China Doll. I just gave it a reverse order, didn't I? Yeah, China Doll. These are powerful child abuse prevention programs, and it was very healing to be a part of those. Kind of got off on a tangent, I apologize. That was a great experience to take those experiences of mine and put them into a film to help bless the lives of other people. If anybody on the phone or on the video tonight have been struggling with these issues, let us know. We've got this on DVD. We'd be happy to send you a copy so you can watch the films and just get this kind of a feeling for what's happening. Enough of that. Painful part of self-esteem challenges. There's one more. This one's really private. Matter of fact, it's not just private, it's called secret. The fourth and final major cause of self-esteem challenges is when we have something happening in our life that's shameful. Just think of those kinds of things that could be shameful. Like, for example, if we were an alcoholic and we didn't want the world to know it. Most often they know long before we know they know it, but that would be one option. Another might be an eating disorder or a sexual addiction. All kinds of addictions. They're generally addictions. These are destructive addictions in our life where if the world were to know, if we were shouted from the rooftops what we did in secret, we would be terribly ashamed. Now, there's a lot of things we'll be ashamed about, but these are really serious, terribly ashamed things where we do a certain thing in secret and yet we present a different image in public. This creates a real self-esteem crisis because we don't know who we are. Am I the facade? Am I the secret? Which one am I? And the good news is we're not either one of them. We're the one back here looking at this, going, wow, really, truthfully, I'm closer to what I'm presenting to the world. This is who I really am. I'm just dealing with this addiction, this illness. And if we can see it for what it is, we can go get some assistance from a professional that can guide us through this addiction to get the addiction out of our lives so we, the real us, can show up. Fourth cause of self-esteem. Well, let us focus on these principles of connecting with people, of using our mind constructively, of living in the now. Mind and body wedded together, doing those power sessions we talk about. That's the reason why we have those in the curriculum. Help us start to practice being in that space more often. And we'll begin to get connected with a power greater than ourselves. We'll begin to become aware of our own genius. It's not about ego. It's about ownership and about availability in the service of others. We'll know who we are. And when we start to know who we really are, and we see ourselves, often the way we see others unconditionally often, we start to see ourselves the same way. This is a powerful time because when we're whole and healthy, we are so available. The objective, what's the objective? The objective is to be real. The word real means to be able to have relationships. to be vulnerable, transparent. What you see is what you get. No games, no facade, no playing, just real. The next is genuine, to own our genius. When we're playing small, we're not being humble, that's being foolish. Humility is about being teachable. It's the humus, it's the dirt, it's getting down and really taking it on. This sense of false humility is really destructive because it robs us and everyone else of our gifts. We're going to want to be genuine. Authentic, I shared a moment ago. Enthos hectic. Embracing our true self, our true self. We have a tendency to believe that we are our rebellious self. When we're in resistance and frustration and overwhelm and anger and we feel so committed and so frustrated, that's not who we are. We are at a very intrinsic level, beautiful, powerful, peaceful people. It's just that we haven't spent a lot of time here. As Og says, I surrendered my free will to these years of accumulated habits, these thoughts, and the past deeds of my life, what I do, have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. Ah, we don't want to be imprisoned by these. We want to step back from them. We want to be authentic. Embrace our true self and let go of these unhealthy habits of thinking. Real, genuine, and authentic. Without, Dr. Hartman said, did the math for our assessment, without the need to impress. And impressing is when we try to make a lot out of what is, pretend, which is act like something is that isn't. Both of those trying to overcompensate for a lack of, or a feeling of being less than, or a lack of. When fear, false evidence appearing real, we want to let go of fear and we want to let go of shame. Shame comes from the root word sham, which is like a pillow sham. It's a covering. It's like a wet blanket on our ability. It hides us. Shame just hides who we are. We want to tear the cover off. Let go of the shame. Let go of the fear so that we can show up. Dr. Hartman went on to say, this is the most difficult task in our mortal existence. I started this evening by saying, be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. This is a journey. If this is the most difficult task in our mortal existence, it probably won't be done in a week. This is going to be a journey of connecting with people, of using our mind constructively and getting those inspired ideas, working passion-driven, discipline and structure, letting go of that need to be right and crush people, finding joy by being a great partner and being grateful and dealing with sorrow and joy. And these are all powerful pieces, powerful pieces. And they take a while for us to perfect. So the objective is to be real and genuine and authentic without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. The highest, the most difficult task in our mortal existence, and he said, the highest level of maturity. The highest level of maturity. It's wonderful at the age of 58 that every once in a while I'll get a glimpse of what it's going to be like when I'm finally mature. Wow, I can't wait. How exciting it's going to be to just be real and genuine and authentic with all that craziness going on. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To reach that point? As Og talks about in Scroll 2, where I've got this shield of love that I wear, and the arrows of hate and anger, I turn them into the softest of rain, and eventually I set aside and I walk unencumbered among all men. Can you imagine being that at peace that you can't be offended by anyone? And he also said when that happens, our name will be raised high on the pyramid of life, which means not very many of us totally get there in a lifetime. I just love the moments when we can glimpse it. Just glimpse it, get a little taste of it. It's really sweet. Well, as we look at this, the primary reason for teaching Quality 1, 2, and 3, connection with people, mental rehearsal, physical creation, mental creation, physical creation, is to give us the three key and primary ways of healing self-esteem. There is another. I want to give it to you tonight. It's called an inventory, a self-inventory. We talked about this a little bit last week. We talked about our clay. This is the single greatest moment, I believe. Well, I don't know if this might be hyperbole, but it's a great moment in terms of self-esteem. It's when we get to know who we are. All of our warts, weaknesses, and strengths. All of those things are present before us. We see them. This is my finances. This is my education. This is my relationships. This is my life. This is my body. This is my weight. This is all before me. And we make this critical decision. I choose me. I choose me. Seems reasonable, since we can't choose to be someone else. We really can't. I mean, I remember in college football when I wanted to be Nick Bonacani and stay alive and be a linebacker in pro football. It wasn't going to happen. My body was falling apart. I mean, every hit weakened something, and every week a body part failed. I mean, I was running out of body parts that were healthy. It wasn't going to happen. Not for me. Great lessons learned. I talk about those in the book. But it wasn't to be. So I look at my clay. What does your clay say? We look at it. Well, I don't want my hair. I don't want my teeth. I don't want my digestive system. I don't want my whatever it is. Well, this is it. Because all the energy that we spend in resisting who we are precludes us from taking what we have and creating the most we can with what we've been given. The first key, after we've got all in front of us and we're clear, is to say, I choose me. I choose me. I go back to the movie The Family Man. Do you remember that with Nicolas Cage? And she said, I choose us. I choose us. Even with all the challenges we're having, I choose us. I don't want to go into the fact that was a dream, etc., but just a nice, noble thought. So I choose me. I choose me. Because when we make this choice, I choose me, we can begin the sacred process of creation. Until that point, we're frustrated, overwhelmed, disappointed, resistant, resentful. That's not creation. I choose me. I choose me. If tonight you just had a moment and reflected on your life, say, I choose me. We might feel like, well, am I surrendering? Am I giving up? No, you're finally getting started. This is the starting line of creation. The starting line of creation is, I choose me. That's the starting line of creation. I choose me. And now I begin the process of taking what I've been given without any distraction and creating the most I can with what I've been given. Then we get to begin the experience of feeling the magnitude and the pricelessness, the worthiness, the ability that we do in fact possess. The more we have that feeling, the more we can give from a cup that is overflowing. Now, I've given you over the weeks two ways to fill your cup. When you step into another person's world, serving them based on your life experience, their walls come down, cooperation floods out, cup is full. I choose me. And begin the creation with what you've been given. And it begins to fill your cup to overflow. maybe tonight make that choice. Wouldn't it be wonderful to wake up in the morning, no more regrets, no more comparison, no more frustration about what isn't, wishing it was different, and wondering what's wrong with me. It's what's right with me. What's good? What's wholesome? What's powerful? Let me take this. What can I create with this? Because this is what we have. We've been trying to buy other stuff with credit cards and home equity lines, and those of us who tried that way, it didn't work. This is what we have, along with the debt we incurred while we did that. This is it. What do we do with this? My promise to you that when you focus here, there is a shift between you and heaven. There's a shift. Remember what I said in my darkest night? That I cried out, I long to cry to the God of my youth, but the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I wanted that, and I wanted that, and I wanted that. I didn't want this. Changed my cry. How can I take this and make the most of it? How can I create? What could I create? How could I create that? How would that serve? There's the answer. That prayer is always answered. How can I acquire greater ability to take what I've got and create more? That prayer is always answered. So one of the great secrets to unleashing, opening the windows of heaven, if I may be so bold, this is not a Sunday sermon, this is the realities of life, is to choose you. I choose me. And I begin to create the most I can with this. And I'm seeking guidance for how to create this. I seek not for gold or garments, or even opportunities. Instead, I seek to acquire ability equal to my opportunities. That will always be answered. Now, one more thing. Two more things. One is affirmations. In your intentional creation tools, go to quality number 6, middle column, click on affirmations. The 6 affirmations for the 6 measurements of self-esteem are there. I've even recorded them and set them to music. Now, you can just read them if you'd like in your own voice, or you can listen to me narrate them set to music. Powerful affirmations. These are I am affirmations. I am worthless. I am worthless. Wow. I am worthy. I have infinite worth. I am whole and complete. I am confident. I am valiant. Can you feel those? I am peaceful. You want to own these affirmations in your life. The last piece you'll find, matter of fact, tonight I would do this. Go to your computer, click on augmandino.com. Go to the bottom on the left-hand side, click Member Login, put in your username and password. It'll open up your new assessment. You'll see the way the assessment's now laid out. It's laid out in these 6 qualities. You'll be able to go to the top right-hand side, see self-esteem, and there are the 6 measurements right there. It's easier to understand now. Click on Creation Tools. Quality number 6 is self-esteem. There are those 6 measurements with even more definitions, your affirmations, and toward the bottom, section called stillness. Stillness. Just take a few moments, 10 minutes I think, and listen to it. It's a guided meditation to help you step back from the noise. To step back here. To be your true self for just a moment. To create a space so peaceful, so quiet, so free of the noise of these sabotaging thought processes. See if you enjoy that. Let me know. Drop me an email, davidaugmandino.com. How was your stillness experience? And then ask yourself, what would life be like if I were in this space each day when I started my day? What would my phone calls sound like if I were in this space before I made them? What would my meetings be like if I were in this space before I had them? This is where you're going to want to be. This is a feeling of being whole and complete, real and genuine and authentic. No need to impress or pretend or feel ashamed or fear. A real sense of maturity. This will serve you in getting into the space so that you can exercise the principles and practices and processes that can help you take you, I choose me, and create the most you can with what you've been given. You'll be given more, and you'll celebrate. We'll have some fun with this piece. Self-esteem, really at the core. We didn't start here, we end up here. We end up here because if we started here, it'd be a seven-headed Medusa. We've been chiseling away at some of the causes now for several weeks. For those of you who are just beginning with us and those who have been with us and maybe had a breakthrough tonight, if you did, it's going to be so important that you're back with us next Tuesday night because we're going to start over. Yes, we're going to start over at the very beginning with quality number one, connection with people, and we're going to start putting into place the very principles and practices that heal self-esteem as we serve other people. So join me next Tuesday night. If you would like, go to the website and have some fun. Take a new assessment. See how it's laid out. Or go and look at your old one because it's now laid out in the new format. Have some fun looking around. Go to the page about Og Mandino and listen to his story in his own words and Betty tell her stories. Lots of high-definition videos. You can go from the website right into and follow us on Twitter. Make sure that you go and sign up and follow us. We've had like 600 people join us in the last 3 weeks. It's been wonderful. Go to the Facebook page, to the Og Mandino Facebook page, and like it. Lots of wonderful information. Daily Dose of Og shows up there. Go to YouTube to the Og Mandino channel. Og Mandino channel is the official Og Mandino channel. And look at some of the videos. I gave a speech recently at the Association of Network Marketing Professionals. When you go to the YouTube page, you'll see Og, see me. I give a little word or two about Og, and you'll hear part of one of his speeches. It's wonderful to listen to. Below that, it says upload videos. Just click on that. It'll upload like 140 of them. The first three are that speech. You may want to listen because this applies to so many industries where we want to be respectful of people. And I walked through a lot of the research that we've accumulated over the last several years doing thousands of assessment debriefs at that speech. We've been told that speech is being played out into the community almost virally, so it's wonderful if you want to take a chance to listen to that. At the website, want to get a copy of my book, get a copy. It's $19.95. You get the book and a $20 CD of Og narrating the 10 scrolls set to music. And then have a chance to read this and bring it into your life. If you want to get 10 of them, you can give 9 away to friends, and you can join me at 6 o'clock before this point, before this session, where I'm going through the book a page at a time and sharing some insights on what was happening behind the scenes as I'm unfolding the book. So you can join that if you like. Just be a part of this. Bring these principles into your life. Come on a daily basis and listen to the Daily Dose of Og and just have a good experience with us. We created something to serve you, to assist you in taking your life to the next level. We want it to be affordable, something that's enjoyable, and much of it's absolutely free. So go to ogmandino.com and spend some time and have some fun. Well, thanks for being with us tonight. Next week we start over with connection to people, and we'll see you then. Thanks, everyone.